Take your Bibles in. Psalm 136. I know, not what we have in the bulletin. All right. Don't stand, though. This is going to be a little bit different. Oh, thank you, Brother Josh. We're going to handle this a little bit different than how we normally handle our preaching portion of our service, and you'll see why in a second. So Psalm 136, find your place there. So Psalm 136, it's a special psalm in a lot of ways, and you're going to find out quickly why when you make it there and start looking at it over, just kind of scanning it. And as we read the psalm, you'll find out that there's 26 verses, and the last half of every verse repeats this sentence, "For His mercy endureth forever." For His mercy endureth forever. If it were possible, that sentence would get old by the end of this. But it's not possible. And repeat it over. "For His mercy endureth forever." And you know, there's something about that phrase, that sentence, "For His mercy endureth forever," that is special not just to us. And I believe if you're right with God and you're following Him and you know who God is, that sentence does something for you, but it's special to God. In fact, those exact words are used several times in the Old Testament, and each time the context is some kind of public praise to God, some kind of declaration of God's goodness. That phrase, "His mercy endureth forever," is found in 1 Chronicles 16. We're just going to spit off some verses to you, and that's when David brings the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem and puts it in the tabernacle, and he has a song of praise that he sings. That phrase is there. It's there just a little bit later as David is giving assignments to the priests. That phrase is repeated. And whenever Solomon's temple was dedicated, we'll spend a little bit of time that there tonight. We mentioned that on Sunday. But when Solomon's temple was dedicated to God, that phrase was stated verbatim. In the record of the Lord's victory over the Ammonites, they praised God and said, "His mercy endureth forever." In the future praise for Israel after the destruction suffered in the Babylonian conquest, the whole thing, we're not going to get into all the details about all of these, but that phrase was used there. And then in the dedication of Ezra's temple, that phrase was used. And so that idea, "His mercy endureth forever," means a lot to God. And it's not clear if all of those instances, it's not clear if they were quoting this psalm or if this psalm was quoting them. Right? Chicken or the egg. We don't know exactly. But whatever it is, that makes this psalm very special. In fact, in Jewish tradition, Psalm 136 is called the Great Hallel. The Great Hallel, or the Great Psalm of Praise. And it's called the Great Hallel because there is the Hallel. If you don't know what that is, Psalms 113 to Psalm 118 all go together, and they are called the Hallel. And the Jews would recite the Hallel, and they still do to this day, Psalm 113 to 118. Many of their major holidays and events, the Passover, the Shavuot, the Sukkot, whatever that is, there's lots of different Jewish events, and they'll recite the Hallel. But they only recite the Great Hallel, which is Psalm 136, at the actual Passover Seder, when they actually take the meal, and when they describe what happened at the Passover in Egypt, in the Passover story, they recite the Great Hallel. I still do that to this day. The Great Hallel, Psalm 136, was also probably used in worship in the temple. If you can imagine, when the temple was still around, a huge gathering of the people of Israel in the temple courts. All of Israel would gather there. And probably how this worked is the priest or Levite would call out a reason to praise God, and then the people would all respond, "For His mercy endureth forever." So if you look at verse 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." And all of Israel would say, "For His mercy endureth forever." Yeah, good, let's do it. Verse 2, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever." And they would go through all 26 verses that way in the temple. We don't know for sure, but that might have been exactly what they did when they dedicated Solomon's temple. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 13, I'll read it to you. Again, this is when they finished the temple and they were dedicating it to God. We told you about the 120 trumpets and all the other instruments. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, remember putting all of that work into this moment, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Again, we don't know if they were actually doing Psalm 136, but they definitely could have been doing that great Hallel. But definitely we know this. They said this phrase, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they gathered and they sang and they played as one and they said that phrase, look how God responded in the next verse, verse 14, when it says, "So that the priest could not stand and minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God." And so after they say that phrase, "For his mercy endureth forever," God shows up in a glory cloud, and again, the preacher couldn't even preach. Why? Because God loves it. Here's the point tonight. God loves it when his people are thankful for his goodness. God loves it when his people recognize his grace and are thankful for his grace, because he is too good to us. He is too good to us. And if you think about mercy and the really the restraint of what we deserve, when we say his mercy endureth forever, that means constantly his mercy is at work, which also admits that constantly we need it. And so God loves it when his people recognize that they don't deserve anything from him, but they thank him for his mercy. He loves that. God loves that. And so it's good for us every once in a while to stop. Stop everything. Stop our series. Stop even our normal midweek service. We're on a Tuesday. And just reflect on the fact that he is good and his mercy endureth forever. And to thank him for that. And again, I'm not exactly sure how they would have used this psalm in the temple, but here's what we're going to do today. All right, we're going to do something a little bit different today. So right now, you'll want to pay attention, so you're not embarrassed later. Okay, so but if you follow along with me, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the first part of every verse, and then like we just did together, we'll read the second part. Which, by the way, every time your part is this: "For his mercy endureth forever." Okay. Now, I want to say this. We're not going to do it all at once, though. We're not going to do it 26 times in a row. There's actually several sections in this psalm. You'll see it, natural divisions. And they recount God's goodness to Israel in different ways. And so what we're going to do tonight is I'm going to give a quick explanation of each section first. And then we're going to read the verses of that section. And we'll do it that way. I'll read and we'll say it together. And I'll read and we'll say it together. And then here's what we'll do. We'll actually spend about a verse or two, and Brother Josh is ready to play a song of invitation. And after each section, after we've dwelled on a certain aspect of God's goodness and God's mercy to us, what we'll do is we'll stop and we'll just pray and we'll thank God. And we'll get back to it. And we'll go to the next section and we'll explain it and then we'll read it and then we'll stop and we'll thank God. How's that? All right, so that's the plan. And there's five sections, so we're going to do that total of five times. But before we do that, I'm going to pray and ask God's blessing on the message, and we'll get into it. God, we are so thankful. And Lord, that time of blessings that we have every week is a special time. And Lord, we recognize your goodness to us. And God, oftentimes we don't recognize your goodness. And even when we do see your hand at work, there's so much we don't see. And we're thankful that you're in control always. We can trust you, and we're thankful that you're so good. And so I pray that you bless this time. Help us to direct our attention to who you are, and to your goodness, and to your mercy. It's Christ in my prayer. Amen. Amen. So the first section is verses 1 through 3. And again, what I'm going to do is explain it first, then we'll read it. So in these first three verses, the psalmist is showing the enduring mercy. Okay, we're going to talk about the enduring mercy of God. And it is shown, first of all, in who God is. His mercy is shown to us, first of all, by just who he is. And the psalmist uses in these three verses the three really great names of God that the Jews would have used in that day. If you look in verse 1, it says, "Give thanks unto the Lord," all caps. Verse 2, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods." And then verse 3, "Give thanks to the Lord," lowercase ORD, "of lords." Those are the three names of God, which we'll see. In the first verse, he's called Lord, all caps, Lord. And in the King James, when you see the Lord, the word Lord in all caps, what they're doing is they're translating the word Jehovah or the word Yahweh, right? Every time you see the all caps, that's what the Jewish underlying word is, Jehovah or Yahweh. Same word, pronounced different ways. I'm not going to get into that tonight. But what that is, that name is the sacred name of God. It's a name that the Jews would not use very often. They wouldn't use it unless it was a very appropriate time. It's the most proper, the most personal name of God. It means the self-existing one, the unchanging one. When Moses, in the burning bush experience, and God, and he said, "Who shall I say sent me?" And God said, "Tell them what? I am." That's Yahweh. "I sent. I am. I'm the self-existing one. I am intrinsically God." That's the personal name of God. In verse 2, he's called God. You see there. God. And that's translated from the name Elohim. Okay, so we have Jehovah, Yahweh. Now we have Elohim. And Elohim is the most general name for God in the Old Testament. Over 2,500 times that name is used. And it's the name that really describes God's power. It describes Him as the one who created the universe from nothing. It describes His limitless strength. He is all-powerful. He is Elohim. It's also plural, which is interesting. Kind of indicates His involvement in the Trinity. In Genesis 1:26, when it says, "Let us make man," it says, "And God said," Elohim. "And Elohim said, let us make man in our image." It means the strong one. It means the mighty leader. It means supreme deity. So really talking about His power. Then verse 3, He's called Lord. Again, lowercase Lord, capital L, lowercase O-R-D. And that's a translation from the name Adonai. Okay, so we have Jehovah Yahweh, we have Elohim, and now we have Adonai. Adonai was often used in the place of Yahweh or Jehovah. And Jehovah, as we said, or Yahweh, that would be more the proper name, the more personal name of God. Adonai is more close to his title as Lord, as the master, as the ruler. And so Jehovah was more often used with God's dealing with His own people, His covenant people. And Adonai is used almost always when you're talking about the Gentiles, because He's Jehovah to the Jews. He's a personal covenant God with the Jews, but He's Adonai to all people, right? He's the Lord of all. And so what it conveys is His absolute authority, His sovereignty. He's God. He is the God of gods. He is over all. And so you can sum it up this way: God is good. God is powerful. God is in control. That's our God. And God is good, and He doesn't have to be. You can say it that way. Hey, it's only by His mercy that He's good. Because the more you dwell on who He is, the more you dwell on His power, the more you dwell on His sovereignty and control, the more you realize this fact: He does not have to be good to me. In fact, the more you think about who God is, the more you question why He's good at all to me. Why would He love us? Who are we that He would even think of us? Who are we that He would be so good to us? And so, thanksgiving to God starts here. It's by recognizing who God is. If you don't have a good grasp of who God is, it's hard to be thankful. If you think God owes you something, it's hard to be thankful. If you think God's not doing what you want Him to do, it's hard to be thankful. But when you understand who God is, and you understand His goodness, and you understand His might, you understand His power, you understand His authority and His sovereignty and His control over all things, you realize you're a bug, and you deserve nothing. And we're thankful that we have anything, you see. Because His mercy endureth forever. So let's read the first three verses. And again, here's how it'll work. I'll read the first part, and then you'll read the, "For His mercy endureth forever." Okay, are you there? Verse 1. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever." And so we're going to take just a moment, and Brother Josh is going to play a song of invitation, and we'll just bow before God and just thank Him, first of all, just for who He is, Brother Joshua. That we can trust You always. Thankful You're always in control. And God, as we think about who You are, we think about who we are. And Lord, we're humbled by Your goodness to us. Thank You. May You bless the rest of this time. Christ in my prayer. Amen. Amen. So the first three verses really focus on who God is. And we could spend a lot longer than this just thanking Him for who He is. And by the way, write these things down and spend time. I would encourage you to, even as a family, do this together. Read Psalm 136 this way. But just for sake of time, we're going to move forward, all right? And so we're thankful to God because of who He is. But we're also thankful to God, and His mercy endures forever, and it's shown by what He has done. Really, the rest of the psalm is introduced with verse 4, to him who alone doeth great wonders. Listen, everything that is good comes from Him. He gives everything that is good. And again, He didn't have to do anything for us. He didn't have to. If we got what we deserved, we would never get anything good. But He gives us good things. Starting with creation. So verses 5 through 9 deal with that and talks about His enduring mercy as shown through His work as creator of all things. And God, listen, God has given us this universe to enjoy. You think about the creation account, the 6 days where God spoke everything into existence. You think about this universe. It's amazing. It's amazing what God has made. And have you ever thought about why that is? Why did God go through all of that? Why did He go through the trouble to make this universe so amazing? Have you ever thought about why God would make the stars? Have you ever thought about why God would make flowers so beautiful? You didn't have to do that. Have you ever thought about why God made food taste so amazing? Thanksgiving's coming. You know, God made that. Amen. He made that fat turkey. Amen. And all the other things. He made that. Why did He make it taste like that? He could have just, we could have just been robots that just plugged into a charger. But God made food and He made it delicious. He made coffee. I mean, we could just go on forever. Now, why did He do that? Did He do that so that He would be impressed by how good He is? Was He trying to impress Himself? Do you think He did all of that because the animals would see it and appreciate the beauty of the universe and contemplate the expanse of our universe? No, He didn't do it for the animals. Sorry, Peter, not for the animals. He did it for us. God did it for us. And He made the animals for us. The Bible says that very clearly in Genesis. He did it for us. That's why God spoke it, all of this into existence. That's why He made it so beautiful. That's why God went through the effort of creating the Garden of Eden. And then the very last creation He made, hey, the rest of creation He spoke into existence. But then he knelt down and with his hands, with the dust of the earth, formed man and put us in this universe. He's too good to us. And he made the stars beautiful for us to enjoy. There's no other reason. He made food taste the way it did for us. He made flowers the way they are for us. He did it for us so that we would see it and we would glorify him. But God could have received glory any way he wanted. But he decided to make it a place for us to enjoy. He's too good to us. And of course, you know that mankind rejected him, rejected his goodness, but yet God still continues to give us this amazing universe to enjoy. The moment Adam and Eve messed up, he could have just made it all look like Phoenix. Amen. But he didn't. He gave us beautiful places too. Amen. Because he's good to us, all right? Because his mercy endureth forever. So let's read verses 4 through 9. And by the way, Brother Josh, if we can do the invitation music just a little bit softer, like the invitation slide with the, that one is a little bit too uppity. I'm too old for that kind of thing. All right? Verse 4. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. So let's just take a moment again, and we'll just pray and thank God for this creation he's given us just now. Thank you. Thank you for your goodness to us. You're so undeserving. Thank you for this universe that you've given us. Thank you for loving us so much. Give it to us. I love you. Bless my prayer. Amen. So his mercy endureth forever through who he is, through the creation that he's given us. And his enduring mercy is shown from his deliverance in our life. And right here, you'll see in verses 10 to 15, the psalmist writes about how God delivered Israel from bondage in Egypt. So God has been good to all people, but the psalmist is recognizing that he's been good specifically and personally to Israel, you see. And if you think about Israel and them being in bondage in Egypt, they had no hope. They had no hope. 400 years they were slaves. There's no thought that they would ever get out of that. If God doesn't intervene, Israel is a slave for the rest of time. But God did intervene, right? God did intervene. And God delivered them from slavery, and God let them out of bondage. And I want to say tonight, without God, we would have no hope. If God doesn't intervene in your life, if God doesn't intervene personally in your life, you are a slave to sin until you die. And then when you die, it gets worse. But God did intervene. And God sent his only Son to pay for our penalty and to free us from our sin and free us from its penalty forever. And so as we read these verses, you'll see that God does a lot for Israel. And he frees them from bondage in Egypt. And I want you to think about, as we're reading this, I want you to think about and reflect on what God did to free you from the bondage of sin. Because his mercy endureth forever. Verse 10 through 15. to him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever, to him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. So let's just take a moment and thank God for his deliverance and thank God for our salvation. Father, we come before you tonight just humbled again by your goodness and your mercy. And God, we know who we are tonight. We know what we deserve tonight. We know that we deserve your wrath and we deserve hell forever. God, I'm thankful you love us. And thank you for sending your Son. Deliver us from that penalty and even more than that, on top of that, to deliver us from sin in this life so that we can follow you. Love you. Christ in my prayer. Amen. Amen. So God's mercy freed Israel from Egypt, but it didn't stop there, because his mercy from there led them from the wilderness into the promised land. From verse 16 all the way to verse 22, we see that God didn't leave him in the wilderness just to figure it out. He got him out of Egypt, and then after that, he led them. He led them through the wilderness. He helped them fight their enemies. He provided for them in the wilderness. He protected them in the wilderness. He showed them, God showed Israel what it meant to be his people, because they were for 400 years slaves in Egypt and learning about the gods of Egypt and from through oral tradition trying to remember their heritage and try to remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph. But for 400 years they were inundated by the worldliness and the paganism of Egypt. And so God brings them out of that and frees them from that. And then at Mount Sinai teaches them what it is to be God's people. It's amazing. God had a great plan for them. And his plan wasn't just that they weren't slaves. God's plan for them was that they'd be a great nation that would glorify him. And so he meant to bring them to the promised land, and he did. Tonight, I want to say, when God freed you from sin, he didn't just leave you to figure it out. And listen, the goal is not salvation. Salvation is the first step in the plan. God did not come to this earth just to save man from their sin. He did not come to this earth just to keep you from going to hell. He came to this earth and died for you to set you free from sin so that you can serve him, so that you can live a life that's glorifying to him. And God has great plans for you. And God wants to lead you, and he wants a relationship with you, and he wants to provide for you, and he wants to protect you, and he wants to show you what it is to be his people, and he wants to show you how to live the life he has called you to live. He has set you free to serve. And he set you free from a life of sin and emptiness and brokenness to live a life of fulfillment, a life of joy, a life that glorifies God. You didn't have to do that. God really could have just saved you and left you all by yourself. And there's a lot of people who want that. They just say, I just want to be saved. I just want to be spared from hell. Save me the church thing. Save me all of that. I just want forgiven. God's not okay with that. God wants to forgive you of your sin, and God then wants to lead you and guide and direct your life. But the worst thing he could have done is just left us to ourselves. But he didn't. And his mercy endureth forever. And he leaves and he dies. And so, think about that as we read verses 16 through 22. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Let's just spend a moment thanking God for his leadership, thanking God for his word, thanking God for a Valley Avenue Baptist Church where we can learn and grow and be who God wants us to be. Spend some time doing that. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for loving us personally and desiring to use our life. Thank you for the plans you have for our life. Thank you for choosing to use us for your glory. Thank you for your word, which grows and shapes us, molds and makes us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, who helps us to live this life for your glory. Thank you for our church family, who can provoke one another to love and good works. We're thankful we're undeserving for all of your blessings. Christ and I pray. Amen. So then, if you know anything about Israel, you know that when they made it to the promised land, they didn't always do what they were supposed to do. And God's mercy endured and was ongoing and delivered them and then delivered them and then delivered them and then helped them and then delivered them. Because they got themselves into a lot of messes, Israel did. And every time they did that, it was because they rejected God and got themselves into a mess. We're in Judges. You know about that. But aren't you thankful God never gave up on them? He sure could have. Oftentimes in our flesh, maybe he should have. But he never did. And God remembered them. He remembered them. And God was always there to deliver them. When they turned back to him, when they repented, right? When they truly repented and wanted relationship with him again, he was always faithful to do that and to provide for them and to protect them again and to deliver them again and to establish once again relationship between God and Israel. Because even though they were not faithful to God always, God was always faithful to them. And we try to oftentimes make a mess of our life, don't we? We're creative on how we mess up our life. And even when we're trying to follow God, we mess things up. And we go our own way. And our heart is so deceptive. And we sometimes even think we're doing the right thing, but we've deceived ourselves. We make a lot of messes. And oftentimes we just outright rebel and do what we want and make a mess. And I'm thankful that even though we're not always faithful to God, that God is always faithful to us. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, we as saved people, John says, if we confess our sins, and again, that word confession isn't just admitting our sin, it's agreeing with God and repenting that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he does it every time because he's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. And he still provides for us. Even when we don't deserve it, and even when we're actively running from him, he's always there for us when we turn back to him, because his mercy endureth forever. Amen. So, verses 23 through 25. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever, who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. You know, right there in verse 24, when it says redeemed us from our enemies, that means to be bought back. That means we put ourselves back. Listen, Israel put themselves back into bondage. He freed them from Egypt, and then they put themselves back into bondage over and over. God over and over redeemed them. And so we'll spend a moment just to thank God for his faithfulness to us, even when we aren't faithful to him. God, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you truly for your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. Even when we're unfaithful to you, you know our hearts. You know that even as the songwriter put it, we're prone to wonder, or we feel it. And God, often we're not even sure why we do what we do. The sin, even as Paul said, sin within us that pulls us from you. And we're thankful that your grace is always there. Your mercy is there. Your faithfulness is there. Help us to rest in that tonight. Thank you. Bless you, I pray. Amen. So then in the end, after all that, here's all that we can say. It's what the psalmist says. And let's just read all of 26 together. Are you ready? Curveball. Ready? Verse 26. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. God's mercy never fails. It's there. It's faithful. It endureth forever. Charles Spurgeon said this about the Psalm 136, and he kind of summed it up this way. It says, the past, the present, or future will not end his mercy. The storms of life will not end his mercy. Distance from loved ones will not end his mercy. Death itself will not end his mercy. God's never-ending mercy should make us merciful to others. God's never-ending mercy should make us hopeful for others. God's never-ending mercy should make us hopeful for ourselves. And I just want to say tonight as we close, we're going to close, we prayed. We're not going to have much of this invitation time. We've done that throughout the night. I just want to leave you with this thought. The only good thing about your life is God. Only good thing about your life. You came in here all proud, thinking about how good you're doing. I'll remind you. I'll lower you a little bit. Do the Word of God. The only good thing about you is God. If you came in here discouraged, beaten, broken, I want to remind you there's something really good about you, and that's God. He's faithful. He's good. He's powerful. You can trust him. He's in control. Let's just surrender to him. Surrender to him and give him our life. And just spend the next couple days, spend the next forever, thanking God for who he is. Amen. So I'm going to pray. We'll be dismissed in a while. I have an announcement just to make after that. But we'll pray and just close our eyes. God, thank you. God, thank you truly for who you are. God, tonight wasn't just a ritual, getting up and down and chanting. God, truly, we've met with you, and we love you, And we're so thankful for your goodness to us. And as we dwell this last half hour, 40 minutes or so, just on who you are, God, I don't think I'm alone in saying tonight that we're also very aware in a lot of ways about who we are, how unworthy we are, and how often we don't trust you like we should, and how often we don't obey you like we ought to. Sometimes, Lord, think we know better. Lord, help us to remember who you are tonight. Help us be thankful for who you are tonight and what you've done. We love you. Christ and I pray. Amen. Amen. So